What's going on, everybody? My name is Sean Anderson. This is the Higher Frequencies Podcast Show. I just wanted to thank everybody for tuning in to the last two episodes I released this year. Your support means everything to me. Today, I do have just two very special individuals who I've had the chance to a pleasure meeting and just had, you know, some good conversations with. But first, let me explain what Higher Frequencies is. Higher Frequencies' objective is to promote higher learning, higher achieving, higher vibrating individuals who are willing to go over and beyond for the lifestyle that they want, exemplifying or having great vitality in their journey or success. And I feel like you guys exemplify that. Today we have Courtney Hale and Ever Gray. How y'all doing today? Y'all good? What's up, Ev? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good? You doing good?
Yes.
For sure, for sure. Can you hear yourself?
Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool. What do you think about the studio?
I do like it, but in my in my mind, this just seems like when I do videos at home in my room. But what I don't have is I don't have these cameras. I don't have people in front of me. I don't have microphones in front of me. I don't have anything in front of me, literally. And this just seems like the best thing in my life.
Yeah, for sure. I'm hoping I can make this a good experience for you and your father, okay?
Okay.
Courtney, how you doing, first of all? You good? You doing well?
If she's smiling and she excited, man, I'm
yeah,
cool.
For sure.
That's
absolutely
all I care about.
Absolutely. You know, just doing some due diligence on both of you guys. You guys have quite the story. You and your daughter, y'all both have quite the story, and I first want to say, and just forgive me if I'm you know, looking at the outline, things like that. I just like to be I like to keep the fluidity of the podcast show going. But first, let me just reintroduce. Courtney is a business owner of Knowledge Bank Nashville, also Super Monkey Kids company, and has been doing financial literacy for what, about 8 years now?
About 8 years, yeah.
Okay, and also, you were put into the 40 under 40 honors for TSU alumni, correct?
Yeah.
So congratulations on that. That's quite the honor.
That.
Yeah. So you've been, obviously, your reputation precedes yourself. What made you pursue, like, be on the pursuit of financial literacy?
Yeah, man. You know, first, thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
This is, you know, we're really excited, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, you talk to most black people, anybody, people of color, and, you know, money plays some type of role in how they grew up. And far too often, it's not a positive story. And that was the case for me. And I graduated college and I got all of the experience and education that I needed to make a difference. And so, you know, I used to hear people say all the time, like, man, I wish I would have known about credit earlier. I wish I'd have known about investing earlier. I wish I would have did this when I did this. I wish I wasn't blowing my money and I was starting a business.
Absolutely.
And so I was in a unique position to leverage my experiences to be a solution that everybody was looking for. And, you know, just really being motivated by not dying with a dream and not dying with an idea, you know, we took what we had and we started something that was really special then, but it's just having so much more impact now.
Absolutely. And Ev, this question is for you. Have you learned a lot about money through your father?
Yeah, I have. Until when my dad first started his business, my mom and dad started teaching me the business he started when I was 2 years old.
Okay.
I didn't even know, before they even taught me what this business was, I didn't even know my dad wanted to open a job. I didn't know he wanted to spend money and have money from people who he has been selling banks to.
Right.
I do help him send them out, but what I really help him do a lot is put the banks together and put them in the box to send them out to the people who people ordered the banks to.
Absolutely.
And
it you do just, a lot of promotions too. You do a lot of videos for us.
I've seen the Instagram. You do a lot of videos with your father.
And one of these videos I did with, it was a knowledge bank video, but I did it with my cousin. And we gave them, if you guys order the bank, we're going to ship them out today. And you guys will get a Super Money sticker and a Super Money family tip to do the things to teach your children with the bank. Instructions to do to you.
With that education that you've learned ever, do you feel like that's something that kids need and we need to make that more prevalent amongst the youth?
Well, I do think that kids should learn more things that they should do that's more challenging for them. Right. So they can do more hard things that they didn't do that time they were younger. But the time they were younger, they can still do hard things.
Absolutely.
Because that will make their brain more challenging for them to learn. So when they get a bank, if they're younger, older, it doesn't matter. They can still have the bank and learn about spend, save, and share. Now these banks that are spend, save, and share, I don't know if I said the order correctly.
Save, spend, share.
Save, spend, share, yes. So these banks that we help kids with will help them share, spend, save. Mm-hmm. So if they wanted to share money with people that were homeless, or they wanted to save money for, was it Spend Sunday?
Sunny Days.
No, Sunday when we used to share.
Share Sunday.
Share Sundays. Or if they wanted to spend money on one thing they wanted. Or if they wanted to save their money for something they wanted. But these banks that we help kids teach for money, we want them to keep practicing and practicing and practicing till they get older, till they understand. Now, we're not going to give banks to younger kids, to 1 and 2, but we can give to 3, 4, 5, 6. We can give to older levels instead of 1, 2, and 3. So we can give more money to kids that they will not lose their money.
Right.
So it's like they had a piggy bank, but they didn't want to use it. We gave them 3 banks for them to keep. That would be more. If they didn't want to use that, they'll still have to use it. They didn't want to use their penny bank, so you have to use that spend, save, and share boxes to put your money in. So that's the only one thing that we can help children do for challenging of their mind to be challenging. They can do more hard work at school. Doesn't matter what grade they're in, they got to do more hard work they can up to more levels that they can do.
Hey, that's very well said, Everett. I'm really proud of you for wanting to be a sponge and learn this information. I think precocious would be a good word for you. You're very precocious.
That fits.
Yeah, for sure. When did you guys start instilling that knowledge into Ever?
Yeah, so the Super Money Kid Bank was literally inspired by Ever.
Yes.
She could obviously could communicate very well at a really, really early age, which is great until you're in Target and you have a list of things that you want to get. And then you have this little 2-year-old who is picking out everything in a toy aisle that she wants.
But, Daddy, you said we're not going to give them to 2-year-olds.
But I'm just talking about you when you were 2 year old. You 2 years old and would ask for.
Well, you can give me. You can give me one when I'm a 2 year old, because I know what this business was for. It was serious to you guys. More that I get older, I know it's serious to you guys that I can't play with the bank.
And so we knew at 2 years old that she was at a place to where she could understand these lessons. And we wanted her to know that when we spent our money, it was based on a plan. And, you know, most adults will call that a budget. Right. We call them spending plans in our household and in our program. And we were like, hey, you know, what's a simple way that we can create a spending plan for a small kid? And that's where we came up with the spend, save, with the save. You got me saying it wrong. With the save, spend, share. And she understood that. And when we first... when we first introduced it to her, we actually got like some Pringles cans and some a couple little odd shaped cardboard tubes and started it from there. She really, really liked it. And then we did it with some other kids, some kids at her school, as a matter of fact. And they loved it and the teachers loved it. And we're like, hey, you know, we got something special here with the Super Money. At that time, it wasn't even the Super Money Kid Bank. Right, it was just an idea in a way that we were teaching small kids about money. And you know, we got the creative minds on it. You know, a couple of our contacts who could help us with manufacturing and distributing. And I remember the day when I first saw the design of the superheroes, I was like, yo, like this is going to be big.
Was the design your idea, or, I mean, obviously design was your idea, but did you already have, like, it formulated, like, how you wanted it to be, like, look or the appearance of it?
So, you know, like, a couple years prior, we had done some work with an elementary school, and we had never worked with that age group before. Most of the financial education that we did was with teenagers.
Okay.
And so when that elementary school came to us, we were like, you know, we can figure something out. And that's where we came up with the Super Money Kids. And we're like, you know, hey, we wanted them to be engaged. So we're like, yo, like, if y'all do these things, y'all going to be Super Money Kids. Yeah. And like, we gave ours, like, I was Super Money Court. And then we had Super Money Alexis and Super Money Montez. And we're like, if y'all want to be Super Money like us, y'all have to learn these things. And so the kids were like really excited. And at the end of the program,
Super Money Tia, Super Money F.
Uh-huh. And we gave them these little certificates. And it's like, hey, you've now completed the work required. And nice. So from this day forward, you'll be Super Money Ever, Super Money Whoever. And the kids loved it. And we're like, man, I don't know what we're going to do with this. We don't work with small kids, but if we ever come back to it, we'll make sure we use this Super Money thing. So when we were working on the banks and we were kind of trying to figure out, like, what was going to be the theme of the bank, how are we going to make it, I immediately knew it. Like, yo, we're going to bring the Super Money Kids back. And I got an artist that helped us with the design. And, I mean, it was like love at first sight.
That's what's up. What is the distribution process for those that are trying to start a business? What is the distribution process of getting you guys' product out to the customer or to the consumer?
Yeah, so for us, it's really simple. You know, we're still doing the fulfillment from our garage.
Okay.
So, you know, we and I'm fine with sharing like our processes, but we created a Shopify store, and we've used a couple different platforms as far as e-commerce stores. For us, Shopify has been the most, it's been the most interactive. It's been the easiest. It's been just, the user interface is really simple to learn. So we're using Shopify now. We get the orders. I literally get orders and I get a text message, and we print out shipping labels at home. And we normally have them already bagged. And so we stick a label on them, drop them in the mail, and we're done. We've actually had a really good month. And so we don't have any bagged up right now. But when I get home tonight, we got some orders to send out. But, yeah, that's what we do. And then when our volume picks up significantly, we have another partner who will do all of the fulfillment. And so if you think about, most people do a lot of fulfillment through Amazon. It's, you know, you place your order through Amazon, Amazon sends it out, which is cool. You know, there are some trade-offs with that relationship, primarily that Amazon takes a pretty significant cut of the revenues.
What is the, if you don't mind me asking, what is the percentage for the listeners?
I don't remember exactly what it is, but we have another fulfillment partner that we've talked to, and their fee was more than, their cut was more than half of what Amazon's was.
What are there other avenues that people could explore to try to like mitigate that or?
Yeah, there are, you know, do your research, see what you can find. Right. Now the benefit to Amazon is that everybody uses Amazon. And so,
it's,
you know,
easier to get it out there.
It's easier to get it out. Right. More people are going to Amazon to search. And so I say all of the, one of the financial lessons that I tell people is like, yo, that you get what you pay for. Absolutely. Is a real thing. And it is probably one of the financial lessons that has been just most paramount in my life. You get what you pay for. And so even though the fee with Amazon is higher, you get the service, the distribution. You don't have to worry about anything. They have billions of people that are using it. So that's going to be good for your volume, for your store. We just weren't at a point to where that made sense for us. So I would just tell anybody, just do your research.
Absolutely. I mean, it just looked, from the research I did on you guys, it looks like you guys are scaling pretty well, though. So make sure you guys definitely check out Knowledge Bank and Super Money Kids Company. What is the social media for that?
Yeah. So on Instagram, we're Super Money Kids Co. Super Money Kids Co. Facebook is Knowledge Bank Nashville. We're going through like this whole rebranding thing. And so we've been known as Knowledge Bank since the beginning, since we were doing summer programs. But now that we're focusing more on basically third through sixth grade, younger students, we're just rebranding to Super Money Kids all the way around. And so we'll get to, we've updated the website. It's supermoneykids.co. Instagram is Super Money Kids Co. Facebook right now is still Knowledge Bank Nashville.
Perfect. And what would your message be? Or I guess like for any beginning entrepreneur, what would you want them to know as far as like entrepreneurship and business goes?
If you got the idea, do the thing that you want to do. Too often people worry about like logos and right. slogans and colors and, you know, this is what I need to have on the sweatshirt. People yeah. already be thinking about like the merch. Like, yo, you ain't even started the business yet. Right, you know, true. Don't get caught up in that stuff. Do the thing, whatever it is, just do the thing, just get started. And you can iterate as you go. You'll get better and better and better at everything. Because the fact of the matter is, you're going to start out with a logo, that logo going to change. Them colors going to change. It's just the nature of, like, a business is like a person, it's like an organism. Right. You grow and you mature. So don't spend a lot of time on the stuff that don't matter early on. Like, learn your business as quick as possible.
And Everett, this question is for you. I guess, like, How do you feel? Do you feel like by helping your dad with the business, it's kind of like brought you two closer?
Well, yeah, but when we started to sell the banks, it was, to me, when I first knew my dad was starting this business, when it was my first time of this.
Right.
I went to, I don't know if it was a high school or a middle school. I went to the first school he teach. I don't know, the first, the second, I don't know, but I went to one of them. And
so prior to this, you were teaching, Courtney?
No, I wasn't. She's just talking about one of the schools that where we were doing the program.
Oh, okay.
And she got to like visit and sit in and watch. Cool. And
so,
of course, be
when
her.
I saw my daddy, when I saw my father up there talking, I'm like, I wasn't saying anything. I was just looking straight at him. And I'm like,
Wow, I can't believe that's my dad.
No, like, really teaching a classroom? Is he really teaching a classroom? And I'm just looking like, what the heck?
But to answer your question, I think it has brought us closer because when we first started doing this, My full-time job, I mean, I worked in corporate finance and healthcare. And so I had a really demanding job. And then I would go home and do knowledge bank stuff. So I was working all the time. And at the point that we could start...
Every single time he would get home, he'll go, he'll take off his stuff, put on his pajamas, and then he'll go straight to a room and start working. I'm like, Daddy, it's 9 or 10 or 11 o'clock at night. You should be going to bed, and literally, you are working on the computer. All you do all day long is work.
You know, that says a lot about your father, though.
Work. And he's not even take one day off of work for him to just get some sleep. Seriously.
You know what
seriously.
I was going to say, Avery, do you know what something I took from your father, though? Let me read this to you.
Oh, no.
And I'm pretty sure he may or may not say this to you, but it goes something like, whoever has like the most sacrifice, wealth will follow. That really stood out to me. That's like a sentiment of your father. Like, he's sacrificing a lot for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wants to provide a better life for you. What do you have to say to that?
We still like kind of we still trying to understand that right now. You know, she's still. You know, with kids,
he still teach me a couple things of the knowledge bank.
Okay,
they'll come with, like, with kids, you know. This is I'm experiencing now because I'm a little bit older, and I used to hear this when we first had a child. I'd hear this from older people, but like, kids don't really get what was done for them until they reach like a certain level.
Right.
So right now, everything, she just going with the flow. She, you know, but one day she'll get it, and then that'll be the point where I realize that, you know, the things that the sacrifices
maybe,
we made and our experiences
maybe not,
paid off.
Maybe not.
But she's like, you know, she's here with you. She gets to do a podcast. Yeah, like, this absolutely. Is just regular, absolutely. You know, for her.
But
one day she'll.
Right now, this is feeling like, I feel like I'm just in the sky.
Yeah, feeling good. But she's going to look back on this one day and be like, I was doing podcast interviews at 6. That's not normal.
Right.
Right.
Yes, so it is normal.
It's normal for her. Yeah, right. Yeah,
but
exactly.
For us, I guess for me, it wouldn't.
Yeah, man. So, but... The work has brought us closer, you know, to go from working all the time to then to actually be able to work with my daughter has been great. We've worked with her on starting a couple businesses. So there are a few things that she's done with friends where she's made money, and she has earned her own money. She has made money, and they've done well. And we just want to continue to just nurture that entrepreneurial spirit.
Absolutely.
You know, we believe that Ever has some unique talents. We want to nurture those talents, and we want to get on the microphone in front of a camera, and that's her talent, right?
Daddy, thousands of talents.
But all kids have talents, and it's our jobs as parents, siblings, teachers, to nurture those kids' talents so they can be the best them and live the life that they want to. And money plays a part in being able to do that. And so that's kind of how we bring it all together.
Absolutely. And again, that's why I really appreciate, honestly, both of you two being here. I would say, on the other side. There we go.
The cord come out.
There we go.
I mean, you're doing too much.
Just doing this and then the things.
It's all good. But no, seriously, Ever, according to honestly, that's why I do have y'all here, because y'all exemplify a higher frequency, and that's what this platform is about, honestly.
Yes.
So this is a episode with Courtney and Ever. I'm Sean Mike. We're going to take a quick break, and here's a message from my sponsor, Higher Frequencies.
The Super Money Kid Bank is an educational and interactive personal savings bank for children. The bank teaches students financial responsibility, focusing on 3 money habits: saving, spending, and sharing, ensuring that our students are best prepared for the world that awaits.
Welcome back to Higher Frequencies. Again, I have two very special individuals with us. I want to kind of switch gears now that we kind of laid the premise down about who we have. So 2020 kind of has been, obviously an unprecedented year for the world, to say the least. And you guys have honestly experienced quite the year as well. First off, I did see that the business that you were working out of, it got kind of disintegrated by the tornado. What was that experience like? How were you able to still kind of like keep things going and just rebound from that?
When his business, the building where he worked was, he didn't own it. It was one of his, it got down by the tornado because it wasn't sturdy enough. But the day when I went to go see that lab.
Yeah, so the building that we worked in was destroyed by the tornado in March. It hurt for a lot of different reasons. The reason why it hurt the most was because a really close friend of mine ran three businesses out of that building. And I worked there in the co-working space. And it was just kind of like eye-opening, and you just never know what's going to happen. You know, I can't remember the day. I think it was a Tuesday, but, you know.
It was a Wednesday.
Was it a Wednesday?
It was a Wednesday.
You may be right. So that Wednesday, I went in there and worked. And it was a regular day, and we were all smiles and getting our hustle on, and we go home and we go to bed, and in the middle of the night, a tornado comes through and completely destroys the building. Like, that's just something you don't expect to happen. And people lost their lives that day. People lost their homes. There are people who are still displaced.
My friend from school lost her home.
We had some really close friends, one of her close friends from school, and we're really good friends with with her parents. They're also business owners, and they have a really successful
flower shop.
It's called The Flower Shop in East Nashville.
Before her house got ruined, her house was a regular house. Turned into a flower shop. People in that flower shop, where it was people cutting flowers, delivering flowers.
Right. And
a whole thing of flowers in there.
And when the tornado came, they were home. And so, you know, they not only lost the place for their business, they lost their home, and they were so grateful to have their lives, because they very easily could not have been the case. So
absolutely.
That brought about a lot of emotions for us personally, and you know, yes. When you're running a new business, some things you just don't want to have to think about. And so there was the emotional factor from that, and the impact on our friends who lost a lot as well. So that was rough. And
were there any lessons that you learned moving forward?
No, not really.
One lesson we learned ever was that you can't take anything for granted.
Well, right? Yeah.
Because your reality today may not, your reality right
I
now.
Think,
hold, on, what, hold on one second. Your reality right now may not be your reality tonight. I mean, think about that for a second. Like, what you experience right now, that can change tonight. And so every moment, like, we have to appreciate it. And that's why I just love looking at her talk on this microphone, because, like, this is really, this is really special.
Absolutely.
And I want to enjoy every second of it while it's happening. Go ahead.
Well, the reason why I love the business that we're running is because that I didn't know what my dad was going to do before he run this business. I don't know if he would just do things with us, or he wanted to work, or if he wanted to get a job, or if he wanted to, do something. I didn't know what he wanted to do. So, what he did was thought about something. Just think about what you wanted to do. That's what he did. He thought about what he wanted to do. That idea came to him for a reason. It came to him for a reason because he wanted to run a business.
Right.
He wanted to have a job. He wanted to have money. He wanted to give people something that's special for them. That he wanted to be one part of the business that other people might be running. Other people can be running the same business. But look, he doesn't care because he got that business that came to his mind that he wanted. He doesn't matter if somebody in that world got that business. He doesn't matter if somebody else in another world got that business. He decided he wanted that business. He decided he wanted to have Super Money Kids. He decided he wanted to teach people about money. He decided everything he wanted to do with his job. He didn't just stop thinking and just did an idea. He thought in his mind and knew the idea he wanted to do. The idea he wanted to do came to his mind, and he did it for him.
That's very powerful. And you know you can do the same thing too, right?
Yeah, I already did the same thing.
She's currently doing the same thing. Okay, so fast forward a few months later, you know, you guys experienced a loss, and again, my deepest sympathy and condolences. What's something that for those that's watching, Courtney lost his wife, Ever lost her mother, and I'm pretty sure that was just hard on you guys. What is something that you guys remember about her legacy that you guys are keeping alive to this day?
Well, what I remember about her is her smiles, her voice, her just the confidence she had when she was teaching. Let me tell you, she was a therapist. A therapist is where she helps kids with special needs. She'll teach them. She'll help them. It's kind of like a regular school. Way different. Because some people at one school, at just a regular school, they do have things, but it's just a regular school. Now, a therapist is way different because those people have special needs that they can't do what regular people can do.
Right.
So if they have special needs, then they can do what regular kids do. And what I also remember of her is just her confidence, her just everything of her. I kind of remember of her.
Yeah, I mean, the confidence was a big part. I mean, she was a person whose personality, like, commanded respect and love. And, you know, sometimes I remember us being out. We could be in a mall or a restaurant, and she would be like, these people looking at me. Now, my wife, she, you know, like, we from North Nashville, and she real North Nashville, okay? And, you know, she get with you a little bit, all right? And so we'd be out sometimes where she'd be like, man, these people keep looking at me. And I'd be like, babe, like, you. Like, you beautiful. And she just walked with a certain aura. Like, you felt her energy, like, when she came in the room. You know what I'm saying? And
you could feel everything from where she comes in the room. You could feel her.
You could feel her blessing.
You could feel her powerful. You could feel her smile. You could feel her breath. You can feel everything that she come into the room with. Everything.
Literally.
You don't know what she going to say. You can feel everything.
And it's so accurate because, like, Ever and I are the talkers. We, like, Ever and I are the talkers in the family. You know, my wife, you know, people say like killers move in silence. Like that, you know, that was my wife. Like she, you know, she was the more reserved one, chose her words carefully. But when she spoke, like you was listening. And you probably was listening before she even spoke because you just was waiting on what it was. And that's just like, that's the woman that she was. She was, I used to tell people all the time, I was like, yo, my wife is the realest person. I might not say a person, you know what I'm saying? But like, my wife is the realest I know. Like, I don't care where you from. I don't care what you do, what you been involved in. Like, my wife is the realest one that I know. And that was the truth. But she was beautiful. She was compassionate. Like she was really like a superhuman. And she through her work as a therapist, like ever talked about, like she changed families' lives every day. And we had a memorial for her. I'll let you talk about the memorial, but give me one in just a second. And it was a really unique experience, and Ever's going to talk a little bit about that. But there were people who drove through that memorial, and like, you know, your wife changed our life forever. Like she met my child when they were 2, and she's 16. Right. And without your wife, we wouldn't be able to do X, Y, and Z. We had asked for some testimonials to highlight some of her work. And we received countless emails to the point where we had created a hashtag where people could just follow, because there was no way that we could take all of the feedback and put it into an exhibit. She was special all the way around. She was fly. Like she, her hair, her makeup, like she was flawless. Like she, you know, It could have been designer. It may not have been designer. It could have came from a thrift shop. But she moved the same, like all, like she was bad. Like she was bad inside and out, and I think so much of that we can learn from. But she was strong. She went through a lot. I mean, my wife had over 20 surgeries and procedures, and that's hard on anybody's body, you know? But you never know. Like it was important to her to wake up and do Ever's hair, pick out Ever's clothes. There, you know, there were times to where just physically she couldn't go upstairs, and, you know, and maybe in one particular day, all she could do was sit at the end of the bed, but she would sit at the end of the bed and she would do Ever's hair and whatever she could in those trying times. So we lost a queen. I mean, she was our queen without a doubt. And there were a lot of people that loved her and depended on her. What'd you want to say, Ev?
So the memorial.
So the memorial was different, right? Because we were in the middle of COVID.
A middle of nowhere.
Well, no, like we couldn't have a traditional.
That's one. So the memorial. When I first got there, when I saw that picture to you, when I saw those pictures to you, that made me realize that she was there. She'll be there the whole time. Well, everybody drove by. I saw the people who was always there. I saw my school. I saw my teachers. I saw mostly everybody in my school. But when their son said, "I love you, Ever. I'm sorry for everything," that made me realize that she will always be looking down at us. But
absolutely,
the reason why I recognize of her, because our whole house is just Tia. Whole house is just Tia.
Yeah, we got a lot of pictures of her up all over the place.
Yeah, from what I'm understanding from both of you guys, she was a true matriarch. And, you know, that goes to say without the, you know, goes without saying. Yes.
Yeah, like she, man, it's just legit. Like she's like, the godmother of her family on all sides, like mama's side, daddy's side. Like,
I think she's a stepmother, mother, godmother, mother, the queen.
She's everything.
Now, was she helping you with the business as well?
Yeah, it was truly a family ran business.
It was a black business.
Absolutely, a black family owned business. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, initially, it was like, all right, this is Courtney's dream. And, you know, I was like busting my ass, as Ever already kind of talked about. And it got to the point to where Tia was like, you need help and we're here and we can help you. And so then it really quickly became a family business. And it's crazy because at that point, the business went to another level.
The business went to a whole nother level. Level one. Stop at level one. Level two. Stop the level three. Level four. Scaling. Level five. Level six. Level seven.
Right.
Yeah.
It went to up levels.
And, you know, the thing about women, like women's existence is to multiply, right? Like that's what they do. They do that physically, but they also do it spiritually, and they also do it with other things that require manifestation. And the two women in my house, when the woman and the little woman, when they got involved, our business magnified. Like they multiply the business just from their involvement. And it's just a little something out there, you know, talk about our queens.
What's something that we could tell our kings about choosing a woman? Because clearly you chose a woman that like fit what you had going in your life. What's something that we could tell our young kings about choosing a good woman for them?
Man, do less looking and more feeling. Simple as that.
I really appreciate that. Man, wow, it's amazing. Me and Ever, not to change gears, but me and Ever, we have something in common. Ever, do you know what that is?
Our birthday's in the same year, and we have the same disease.
Yeah. Yep. We both have and happy birthday, because yes, you're thank right. Our you. Birthday's in the same month. My birthday's November 12th. You. Yours is what, the 6th?
The 4th.
The 4th. I'm sorry. we team Scorpio over here.
My party was the 8th.
How was your party? It was good?
It was amazing. That was the one thing I was waiting for. It was to the 4th. I was doing this. Boop, 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 boop.
Happy birthday, Ever, and I'm and wishing you many more, seriously. So for those that don't know what sickle cell anemia is, I mean, pretty much that everybody that follows me, they have a kind of idea. Go ahead, Ev.
It's a disease which is well, I don't know how it's it's a disease where it's way different than other diseases, but
absolutely, it's a red blood cell disorder, right? We have a blood cell disorder.
I did have a well.
Go ahead.
I did have a. Was it this week or last week?
The last 2 weeks.
Last 2 weeks, I had. That's why I didn't really go to school.
So just let the audience know what it is real quick. It's just a disorder in which you know, like healthy red blood cells, they're not really able to carry like oxygen in certain parts of the body, which causes pain for us.
That's what I was about to say. For the last 2 weeks, I did have a crisis.
That's good, and I really hope you don't have to have any more. So, Ev, I was to tell you a little bit more about me. I was diagnosed with it when I was 2 years old.
I was diagnosed when I was born.
Really? Well, I had it at birth too, but I didn't have my first crisis until I was 2 years old. So a whole 2 years went by, and I didn't have a crisis at all.
I had a crisis my first crisis was when I was.
You weren't one yet.
So I was two.
You was a baby.
And that's
I was younger before.
Hey, it's crazy how genetics work, right? But
I don't even remember the day. I feel like the first day I had my crisis, I think this was in. I feel like this was in a February or a March.
I can't remember.
Well, you remember that day where I was in? Well, that it wasn't. That was last week. You remember the day, I don't know if I was three or four, and I was laying in the bed and I had a crisis.
Yeah, it's a regular thing, like, right? I don't know kind of what your experience was.
I don't feel like it's a regular thing.
It's gotten better. When I was a kid, they didn't really have hydroxyurea, wasn't really tested on us. And I'm assuming that's the medication she takes as well. That wasn't really a thing.
I can't wait until I swallow pills because that penicillin is disgusting.
Yeah, it is. Penicillin is very, very disgusting. So, but yeah, pretty much my experience, a whole 2 years went by. Then my mom said I was shaking and stuff like that. And when they took me to the doctor, they ran my blood. And this is, it's so crazy, you know, in the 90s, I guess that wasn't a thing. They wasn't really testing kids' bloods and things like that. Otherwise, it would have been detected earlier. They discovered I had sickle cell anemia. So from there, I started getting put on.
I thought it was just called sickle cell. I didn't know it was called sickle cell anemia.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yep.
I thought it was just called sickle cell.
If you don't mind me asking, like, how does it make you feel when you get sick? If you don't mind me asking.
What it makes me feel, it feels like I'm just in, it just feels like, I know I'm having a crisis, but it just feels like that I don't know what I would be doing.
Right.
Like, for example, if my leg hurts really bad to skin 1 to 10, I'll be hopping on 1 foot. If I have a crisis on my arm, I'll just be doing this. Or if something's hurt, I'll be doing something and just won't really be doing it.
Does it kind of make you feel like your body's locking up?
It feels like I'm just broken apart.
And see, like, when I ask people this question, it's really hard to explain. In your experience, Courtney, what have you seen, like, what works as far as, like, pain management and things like that?
You know, the thing that I believe works the most is getting in, like, a warm tub. And she doesn't always like it. It's because, like, when you're hurting, you don't want to move.
Right.
And we're like, hey, like, take off all your clothes and, you know, get in the tub. But it helps the most. And we just pretty much go into just keeping her comfortable because, obviously, that's one of the things about sickle cell. There's not a solution to stopping the pain at any moment, right? It just lasts until it doesn't anymore. And then the people around you, or if you're an adult, you just do what you can to get through it. But we, you know, we do a number of different things. We make sure she's hydrated, warm tub. You know, they can hear you when you're here. They can hear you. You know, heating pad. Sometimes she may allow us to do a little massage, but sometimes, you know, it hurts. So yeah. She don't want to be touched.
Right.
We just do it all in repetition. Early on, it was really, really difficult. Before, you know, she was able to really talk or understood what was going on. And, you know, there'd be times where, like, her hands would swell up or she'd just be crying nonstop. And so those times were really, really hard. I'll never forget the first time we had to take her to the hospital. It was, like, the first time, like, first crisis. And, I mean, she wasn't one yet. And, you know, the pain of not even her just being in pain, but them trying to get an IV into a baby's arm and missing the vein. And, you know, we're first time parents. And so, you know,
was I crying?
Yeah, you was crying.
Was I screaming?
Screaming. you know, and we got through those things, you know, together, you know. You know, ever got to a point where she could start telling us, at the point that she could start telling us what was going on, it immediately just took the stress level down an octave just because we knew. Before, we didn't even know, right?
Because I wasn't able to talk.
Right. But, you know, we've you know, we've developed a lifestyle to keep her healthier, right? So we don't do a lot of fast food. We control her sodium. We make sure she's hydrated.
I want to eat salt, but they won't let me.
It's for a good reason, though. And she,
she's six, but she's been really mature about understanding why we do the things that we do. You know, certain things, you know, like bouncy houses and swimming.
That's a big one. A lot of people, they used to be like, you know, why are you not getting in? So I used to hate swimming. I still do, you know, because the body temperature changes.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to swim.
I know, I do too. I kind of stopped, though. I just stopped swimming.
Yeah.
I stopped.
I don't want to swim.
She's at that age. So we just have to monitor it in certain things that we do. We buy our scuba suits, right, that actually helps keep your body temperature consistent. But that's our lives. And the thing that we talk about and that Ever realizes now, and I think she's gotten used to it, whether it's related to sickle cell or mom or us being entrepreneurs, our lives are our lives.
Right.
The decisions that we make, they're our decisions. It doesn't matter what other people think or what they're doing. We do what's best for us. And we benefit because of that. And she understands that more now. She's still sick, so sometimes, you know, we gotta talk about it a little bit more.
But we do
our thing. That's how we live our lives. Like we don't look for a lot of sympathy. You know, we appreciate the love and the prayers, but you know, this is our life.
Right.
And we're gonna make the most out of it. And we got a damn good life.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a lot of pain, unimaginable pain. But even in the midst of that, we've gotten unimaginable love through those situations. And so it could be worse. And so we just thankful for what we have. We're thankful to have each other. I love this little girl more than she even.
Yeah, she's quite the character.
Yeah, more than she even realized, man. And so, and she's been resilient. She's been mature beyond her years at times where I couldn't even keep myself together. You know, I had to get a little love and a little inspiration from a 6-year-old. At that time, 5-year-old.
4-year-old, 3-year-old.
And so we're just, you know, we're just thankful for the blessings that we have.
Absolutely.
On our life.
I mean, you guys are definitely ascending to something greater. And I really, you guys just are a true testament of just resilience, perseverance, and just whatever adjective that's positive. I really appreciate you guys' time, just being on the platform. You guys have an amazing story. Last thing I wanted to ask the both of you, what is something that you guys want people to take from you guys' story to kind of like apply to their life?
Go first.
You want me to go first? Man, I tell you, this is something that has resonated with me all week. And I think this is an answer to your question. Mm-hmm. I saw a post this week. It said, in me, I have whatever it takes. And that was it. Mm-hmm. And if it was one thing that I would want other people to know is that in you, you have whatever it takes. And you got to believe that. Like we have collectively, universally all been through a traumatic year. All of us have.
Absolutely.
But we got to believe that we have whatever it takes to persevere. And that would be the message that I would want people to take from our story, because we believe that. We know that, you know, we got a lot of odds stacked against us now. We've had a lot of things stacked against us, a lot of really unfortunate things. But, like, we got whatever it takes. And we believe that together.
What about you, Evan? What's something that you want people to take from you?
I don't know, really. maybe I can money?